Rams fans, welcome into Rams Showcase, the longest running unofficial Rams podcast. I am your host, Sheriff Joe Bags. Tonight, the Rams ship off another player who is expected to be a big contributor this season. Plus, what do these moves all mean? And what do they tell us about Sean McVay? And later, the third division test of the season. We preview the Cardinals at the Rams. Before we hop in, just a reminder, RamsShowcase.com, that is where you find the most up-to-date action surrounding the show, as well as myself and your Los Angeles Rams content. Follow on social media, that would be at RamsShowcase, at Sheriff Joe Bags. And by the way, up on the website at, RamsShowcase.com, under that merch tab is also where you can snag your t-shirts, your Ram Showcase t-shirts. If you are interested in supporting the show, that is absolutely the best way to do it, other than just being here and taking it all in. So let's go ahead and hop into the action here. So the Rams trade wide receiver Van Jefferson to the Atlanta Falcons. We did see the first photo of Van Jefferson in a Falcons uniform. That looks a little bit weird, but I guess we'll get used to it, right? But the Rams do receive a sixth-round pick, and the Falcons do receive a seventh-round pick alongside Van Jefferson. Jefferson, he only had two snaps against the Eagles, but he did see a significant drop in his production so far this season. So I don't know if this move was necessarily expected, anticipated, or whatever, but it's definitely not surprising, in my opinion. Jefferson did enter this contract year with a really good opportunity to produce, with Cooper Kupp being out for those first four games, but he just really wasn't able to settle in. And with wide receivers Tutu Atwell and Puka Nacua showing their ability to handle the duties, the return of Kupp seemed to just seal Jefferson's fate entirely. This is the second player that we expected to be a pretty big contributor on the season, who has now been traded away, joining Cam Akers, who did get shipped off to Minnesota. So the compensation might give you an immediate reaction that the Rams did not pull off enough in return, but I'm not sure really what else the Rams could have gotten for Van Jefferson. He was likely on his way out at the end of the season anyway, and it was kind of becoming clear that he was not going to be a critical part of this offense even the rest of this season. So utilizing him to make a seventh-round pick a sixth-round pick, and yes, these picks are in 2025, so we won't see the benefit of this for a little while. But that's better, in my opinion, than just letting him walk at the end of this season. I do see that some people anticipated the Rams would have gotten a comp pick for Jefferson, but those are not guaranteed, and usually the projections of those don't translate directly. We also got the comments from Sean McVay that he kind of made these moves part of the move was to help Van Jefferson. Like I said, he's in a contract year, and he was not going to be a contributor for the Rams this season. So you know what? I totally buy that. I 100% buy that. It's like, you know what? Instead of just keeping him here and sitting him down on the bench, getting him two reps a game, let's go ahead and get him somewhere where maybe that's all he needed, a little bit of a change of scenery, a bit of a spark to his career, and maybe, you know, who knows what his potential can turn into as his career unfolds. But I also just don't think that the trade compensation was that bad. And let's also kind of take a peek back here, backwards a little bit, and kind of look back at different trades, like when the Rams shipped off Kenny to the Denver Broncos, and we all kind of were surprised by that. But then it worked out, and like a week later, the Rams were able to snag Von Miller. And so you had to kind of look at both of those trades, Kenny Young and Von Miller and all that stuff, as kind of just one trade, even though they were two separate transactions. So I know we've already seen the rumors floating around that maybe the Rams are going to try to pull off a trade for somebody like Kyle Pitts from the Atlanta Falcons. But obviously that's all kind of just hearsay. Those are just rumors bouncing around. But I also like to think that with the relationship the Rams now have with the Atlanta Falcons, with the Van Jefferson move, the relationship that they have with the Minnesota Vikings, which is very clear and very abundant, that maybe these moves aren't done yet. And I don't know if the Rams are really going to be buyers going into the rest of the season here, but I will say that I do think that overall, I would say that the Rams are better than the majority of people who watch and follow the NFL expected them to be. But a lot of storylines coming out from Rams fans that the Rams send too much to people and they're not getting back a lot via trade. And this goes back to, you know, the Jared Goff deal. People have kind of referenced that like we give you first round picks to take our guys. We never get anything in return. But I got to say, that point absolutely has backing. That the Rams, maybe the trade value that the Rams have been doing, maybe it's not that strong. But I would say that it's a very zoomed in way to look at these trades. And if we look at the Cam and Van trades as individual events and analyze only what is sent and what is returned, it definitely sounds like the Rams are not getting the right amount of value. But with Cam Akers, he was a healthy scratch for a few games, and clearly there was a bit of a rift between him and the coaching staff. We don't know what happened exactly and what kind of the conversations were going on behind closed doors and what really fractured that relationship. But it did become clear that it was a bit of a priority for the Rams to remove him from the locker room and just go ahead and get that era of his playing career over with and get him started somewhere else and just out of our area, which totally makes sense depending on what actually happened, which we don't know and maybe we'll never know exactly what went down with Cam Akers. And that's totally fine with me. He's in Minnesota now, and I think that it's okay for myself, at least, if we just move on and just let that be what it was, which was it didn't work out here, and that's okay. And with Van Jefferson, the underwhelming performance in a contract year with our top wide receiver on IR for the first 4 weeks, it was clear that Van had taken a bit of a step back and wasn't performing to the levels that the coaching staff expected. And you couple that with Nacua and Atwell having their individual breakouts, Van just became extremely expendable. And I'm not sure what a lot of fans were really expecting to get in return. I kept seeing a lot of stuff like maybe we can get a third round pick. No, like he had two snaps. No one's going to give up a third round pick for a guy that the team that he's already on and has played in a Super Bowl with doesn't even trust anymore to have out on the field. So, of course, we kind of tanked his value. But I think that ultimately it's just you got to zoom out on these moves a little bit. And let's look at what would have happened this offseason. Van Jefferson just doesn't return, and the Rams just get nothing for that. And he just goes to a new team, and that's it. Same with Cam Akers. Maybe he gets cut or something like that, and he just kind of disappears, and that's it's over. Like, I mean, yeah, you can kind of flip a pick into a little bit of a higher pick, and that's also let's look at those picks now, because the Rams like to move around a lot when it gets to draft time, and now the Rams have a 7th round pick. That is now a 6th round pick, which is just more value that's something we could try to package in later on for a different move. So who knows? So I don't know. It's kind of depends on your perspective on the draft picks themselves and what you're really looking for here. We also just opened up a roster spot. I know that we have some kind of moves and things happening as far as filling those roles, but I don't think that the Rams are done with their roster moves. I don't think that the roster that the Rams are fielding right now and going into week 6 against the Arizona Cardinals, I don't think that's just what we have until week 18. I think there will still be other moves. And we've seen just in the last, since the preseason ended, we've already seen a number of moves to try to make this team better, including moves like the Kevin Dotson move. And if you haven't seen his Rams revealed yet, definitely do it. He is an easy guy to root for. And now I'm kind of rooting for him even more, man. I'm really liking Kevin Dotson. So check that one out. Form your own opinions, but I think he's awesome and I'm pumped that he's on our team, and I hope he plays more because he's performing really well out there. Although I don't know if the coaching staff sees him in the top 5, whatever, but kind of see how the season shakes out as far as the offensive line goes. But if that is the case, if Dotson's going to be sitting there, then Noteboom might be a guy that the Rams try to move on from, or at least I think that would be the only move, right? You're not going to go back and tell him like, hey, you remember that contract we gave you? Yeah, we want to keep you, but we don't want to pay you that much. Like, I don't know if that works out. So just let him go play somewhere else. If he can start, then that's the thing. But the alternative for both these players, though, like I said, was just kind of release them, and you don't really get anything back for that. At least we can move a 7th round pick and turn it into a 6th round pick. I don't hate that. But on a team with positions that could absolutely be improved upon, I'm talking at you edge rushers, opening the roster spots while also upgrading future draft picks just doesn't seem like the worst thing to me. Akers being a healthy scratch and Jefferson getting 2 snaps against the Eagles, they really just had no value. So I think that what the Rams got for him is actually fine. The only other options were to keep unhappy players who are not performing or release them. You really just want to have guys here who are just bitter and angry and not playing and talking to other players and kind of, I feel like maybe being that little bit of a cancer in the locker room and you just don't want that. And if removing them and putting them on a new team completely relieves that, then just go ahead and do that. You got to pull that trigger on that one and just like go let them go, let them go do their thing somewhere else and just let it be what it is. But let's also not forget the currency that is draft picks. We just got better at it, even if it's just by a little bit. In future trades, sending a 6 instead of a 7 could be why a team says yes to a different trade. The Rams also have solid luck when drafting late and have shown the ability to find strong players at all levels of the draft board. And that kind of goes all over the place. We know now that like there's certain draft classes that just like didn't feel like they really panned out. And that is one of them, the Van Jefferson class. It looks like Jordan Fuller is really like the only true hit in that class. So, I mean, it happens, but also that's why I hate right away drafting grades as soon as grading drafts happen, because, well, it doesn't make any sense. And now if we could have just waited a few years, we'd probably give that draft like a D, right? Like if we only hit on one player, it's like, yeah, that's a pretty bad draft. But hey, I did look them up, and I was looking at some of those draft grades after that class. Yeah, a lot of A's, a lot of B's. And so, yeah, I don't know. Whatever you got to do with that information. But that is kind of exhibit A of why I don't do all the draft grade stuff. It just doesn't make any sense. We got to let these guys touch football fields first, because let's also not forget how many people just trashed our class this year, Rams creators and such, and, you know, trashing the Nacua pick and all this stuff. And look at those guys now. They're kicking all the butt cheeks, which is pretty cool stuff. So let's move on here to just some quick transactions. Of course, we just talked about it. Rams trade Van Jefferson to the Atlanta Falcons. So he is no longer part of the squad. But I got to say that I still feel good about the Rams wide receiver room. Van Jefferson, I liked Van Jefferson. I always liked Van Jefferson. I was always kind of rooting for him. This season, he definitely took he kind of had just a fall off. And so the Rams moving on from him doesn't really hurt my feelings. And I also really like Cooper Kupp. I love Puka Nacua. I'm really digging Tutu Atwell this season. I still am a fan of Benny Sko. DeMarcus Robinson is awesome as well. So, I mean, I'm feeling good about where the Rams are sitting at. And that brings me to the next transaction here, which is the Rams did bring up Austin Trammell to the active roster. So he is now here. He's been the kick returner. There is no, like, nothing to report as far as Trammell on the kick return team. I feel like it's just always a touchback. But he looks kind of cool. I don't know what it is, but whatever he's got on under his helmet, he kind of looks cool, so I'll take it. And the Rams always test me when they're signing new players with the names. I'm going to do my best here. The Rams did sign to the practice squad linebacker Olakunle Fatukasi. I feel like that's wrong, but you kind of get the gist, right? So officially added to the practice squad. So we'll see what his future looks like as far as breaking on to the active roster here. And moving on to the standings of the NFC West here, we have the San Francisco 49ers sitting in first place with a 5-0 record. They did have that win over the Dallas Cowboys. This week, they are in Cleveland. Seattle Seahawks sitting in second with a 3-1 record that remains, as they, of course, did have a bye week last week. And this week they head out to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. Your Los Angeles Rams sitting at 2-3 after that loss to the Philadelphia Eagles at home. And this week they do take on the Arizona Cardinals, who are currently sitting in fourth place of the NFC West with a 1-4 record. And they did lose last week, but you know what? They lost to the Cincinnati Bengals last week, and they do head to Los Angeles this week. So we have a pretty awesome matchup against the Arizona Cardinals. And we'll talk about that game here in just a moment as we get into our game preview, which, I mean, it's locked and loaded. We got a bunch of good stuff to talk about in this game. The further we get into the season, the cooler these game previews tend to get. And I'm kind of here for all of it. But before we get into that, just a reminder, ramshowcase.com under that merch tab is where you can snag your shirts. Again, if you would like to support the show, that is 100% the best way to do it. The second best way to do it is just consume. To just be here listening to the podcast, watching on YouTube, following on social media. And the Ram Showcase is, of course, a free podcast. It always will be free for you. And that's the important part. But if you do want to support, then the shirts at ramshowcase.com under that merch tab, absolutely the way to do that. And I do appreciate that. It is absolutely awesome. And if anybody would like to reach out as far as sponsorships of a segment or the show itself, ramshowcase rams.show@gmail.com is where you can do that. We'll take a quick break here, and on the other side, we will dive into the game preview, the Arizona Cardinals at the Los Angeles Rams. Don't move, right here at Rams Showcase. The Los Angeles Rams play their second of three in a home game stretch at SoFi Stadium, this time taking on the Arizona Cardinals, who are sitting at 1-4. Your Los Angeles Rams currently at 2-3. This game kicks off at 1:25 on Fox. Kenny Albert and Jonathan Vilma will be in the booth. We do get Shannon Spake on the sideline. Your distribution map, the Rams will be playing in the green zones here. And I'm going to go ahead and blame the Arizona Cardinals for the pretty small area that the Rams do get this week. There are some other games going on that I guess deserve more attention than the Rams, although I will always disagree with that sentiment. If you are a bettor, the Rams are currently sitting -7, so we're getting a whole ton at home, which is pretty sweet stuff. Moneyline, the Rams just -330, so you're not going to become a millionaire betting on the Rams to win this football game. Pretty much everybody agrees that they should. The over-under in this game sitting at 48.5. So, I don't know. That's a tough one for me. I don't know if I'm going to touch this one this week because I do feel like the Rams are in a position to kind of bounce back in a big way. But also the Arizona Cardinals coming off of their game that they had last week. You would think that against the Cincinnati Bengals, you would think that they would also want to kind of have a turnaround as well. Josh Dobbs has been playing well, but kind of had a rough week last week. So you got to think that he wants to kind of turn it around, although they do have some injuries and such. But we'll, of course, kind of dive into everything here. So on the Rams side, we knew that the first 5 weeks of the Rams season was going to be difficult. So starting the 2023 season, off with a bit of a gauntlet. Obviously, we know the Seattle Seahawks were in the playoffs last year, the 49ers NFC Championship game last year. Then, of course, you have, oh man, who was even week three? I'm already losing my mind over here, but we had the Indianapolis Colts and then the Philadelphia Eagles. So, I mean, the Rams have had a bunch of, like, some pretty tough opponents so far in this season, but it does kind of tend to, it lightens up right now, which is actually really nice to see. But of course, no, you know, it's never a guarantee. This is the NFL and those are still NFL teams, but we knew that those first 5 weeks are going to be very tough. And if at the start of the season, going into week one after that 40-0 preseason game in Denver, if you would have told me that the Rams would be sitting at 2-3, but largely healthy and competitive in each game, I'd honestly be pretty pumped about it. I'm totally fine with that, actually. So the Rams do enter this game in a position to get back to .500. Against a team that they have had plenty of success against in recent years. The first time that they're playing that Josh Dobbs and Jonathan Gannon combo, we do know that officially Kyler Murray is eligible to return from the PUP. I just don't know. We haven't heard anything like if that's going to happen or not. At least I haven't seen anything, whether that's even a true possibility or if it's just like, yeah, he's eligible, but not yet kind of thing. So we're kind of keeping our eyeballs on that, but I don't expect that he will be in this one. But it is the first time that we're playing the Gannon era of the Arizona Cardinals. Sean McVay versus Cliff Kingsbury. That was very beneficial for the Rams, which was very fun. But Gannon, he represents a new era for the Cardinals and will present, of course, different obstacles. That's as simple as it is. The Rams working not only to get back to 500, but also 2-1 in division play, which would be absolutely huge. Of course, week one, that win over the Seattle Seahawks, and then week two, the loss against the 49ers. But very good game, very tight game, and it did feel, again, I've said this a few times, that a few plays kind of go a different way, and it feels like just a whole different outcome, potentially, in that game. Who knows what happens in there. So, and then on the Cardinals side, this comment, I have no intentions of this being like trash talk to the Arizona Cardinals, but isn't it kind of adorable how hard they're trying this year? Like, they're such a bad team. Their roster is kind of not good at all. Their coach is like a total goober, but they're working hard out there. And I mean, I credit it, but also it's just kind of like, oh, way to go, guys. Like, it's, hey, take it serious, man. Hell yeah. I love that. But obviously, they just didn't let the noise get to them, which is good. You know, they're still working very hard out there, and you obviously love to see it. These are still professionals, and that's got to be considered, obviously. But they also just happen to, like, not have a good roster. They kind of knew that going into this year was going to be a little bit of a transition time for them. So to see them coming out and playing actually pretty good football, or, like, decent football, I mean, good for them, actually. You know, the win over the Cowboys, it will certainly be one that Cardinals fans kind of hang their hat on, obviously, with the Cowboys kind of being so up and down. But the Arizona Cardinals, they got them on a good week. But who are the Cowboys? You know, like that's a weird one to even judge, because it seems like week in, week out, the Cowboys are either incredible or terrible, and there's like really no in between. But the Cardinals caught them on a good week, so they are not winless, at least. And against the NFC West so far, the Cowboys, they've been outscored 70-26, and they do still have to play the Seahawks and the Rams, so it could get worse than that. But back to Arizona, I think that the entire world, we kind of knew that the Cardinals would not really be in the running right now, and I realize we're going into week six. No one's really in the running right now, right? But they're still an NFL team, and you know, they're at the very least, these guys are going out there putting out good tape. And that's really all you can ask for from a team that is kind of like, you knew you were going to be bad. And if the Cardinals fans tell you that they didn't know that they were going to be bad, they're lying to your face. It's like, take it back to like the 07 to 09 Rams, where it's like, we knew we were going to be bad. We were hopeful, but we kind of knew, like, you get the writing was on the wall. This was not going to be a bunch of win team, wins team. It was just kind of the way it was. But either way, Cardinals, though, it seems like they have the ability to at least be competitive and put their best foot forward each week. And that's really all you can ask for from a team that is in their position. So again, I'm not just trying to sit here and trash the Arizona Cardinals. I realize they're 1-4 and they're in a transition season, whatever. But, you know, they're a football team that still needs to be prepared for and played hard against. So hopefully nobody on the Rams roster is kind of overlooking them. Let's take a look at some milestones that we might be hitting pretty soon, or at least sometime this season. So we'll start with Matthew Stafford. He does need 3,491 passing yards to pass Eli Manning to break into the top 10 in passing yards in NFL history. He is currently on pace to reach that in week 18. And he needs 29 touchdowns to pass Eli Manning to break into the top 10 in touchdowns in NFL history. And with Cooper Kupp coming back, I don't think it's impossible, although that is a tall task. 29 touchdowns for the rest of the season, that's a good chunk, you know? But it's Matthew Stafford with incredible weapons and Sean McVay offense, so I'm not counting that one out quite yet. And he does need 817 yards to pass Matt Ryan for second most in his first 200 regular season games. He's sitting at 193 right now. So it's right around the corner, and he should be able to reach that, barring some kind of, like, just stretch where he's only throwing for like 70 yards a game or something like that. And I just don't anticipate that. Sure, it's not impossible. Probably a little bit impossible. So Tyler Higbee, he needs 44 receptions to pass Robert Woods for eighth most in franchise history. Two more touchdowns to move into top 10 in Rams history, passing Preston Dennard. And he needs just two receiving yards to move into ninth most in franchise history, which is absolutely incredible. So we should see that from Tyler Higbee. The second you see him get 2 yards, I'm going to try to keep up with these as well. As I kind of follow the season and watching these guys kind of creep up on these, I'm going to try to keep up with them as much as I can. So follow on Ram Showcase social media for the postings there of when these kind of things are hit. Wide receiver Cooper Kupp, he needs 78 receptions to pass Henry Ellard for third most in franchise history. 78, I mean, that's obviously a good chunk, but he had 8 in his season debut, so it's definitely not impossible. He does need 3 receiving touchdowns to pass Henry Ellard for third most in franchise history there as well. And, I mean, there's a lot of games left. It feels like Cooper Kupp should score 3 touchdowns, you know, but 2 to tie, obviously, so, but 3 moves him into third place in franchise history, which is absolutely incredible. He's already one of the top wide receivers this franchise has ever seen. So for him to kind of just rise up those rankings is obviously really cool to see. Aaron Donald still sits with 3 fumble recoveries needed to lead the franchise all time and just 1 sack to break into the top 30 in NFL history. So he is right there. Of course, he did not get one against the Philadelphia Eagles. This is something that we are tracking, but he is quite literally 0.5 sacks away from the top 30. So if he gets 1 sack, it's a solo sack, he'll be sitting in that position by himself. Take a look at the matchup in this game. The Rams offense against the Cardinals defense. The Rams do still have a top 10 unit sitting at number 8 with about 385 putting up, as far as the total yards go, a game. The Cardinals are 28th in the NFL in total defense, just under 400 given up. Passing the football, the Rams still have a top five unit, 270 a game. And the Cardinals defense, 26th against the pass, giving up over 250. And running the football, the Rams do rank 22nd. I do kind of credit this to a little bit of a lack of attempts, only 13 for Kyren Williams last week. And the Cardinals defense, 22nd against the run. So good opportunity for the Rams if they do choose to take advantage of it. And points being put up, the Rams about 22.5, which is near middle of the pack, 15th in the NFL. And then the Cardinals defense giving up 27.2, which is 27th in the NFL. So last week, we saw the impact that Cooper Kupp can still have on a football field and in our offense, which is absolutely awesome, of course. And what we also saw was that despite Kupp getting his share of targets, Puka can still be productive when targeted. And fun fact, 71 receiving yards is a career low for Puka Nacua, which is something we're going to have to try to wrap our brains around of how good this kid might actually be. Like, I know we're only five games into his career, but there is something to be said about the way that he's approaching this game and the way that he's kind of taking it so serious and the way that he's developing every single week. He already looks better right now than he did in week one. And in week one, he was killing it. So the progress of Puka Nacua and how that all kind of unfolds is going to be very fun to watch. I'm really pumped to see like next year Puka Nacua and see kind of what he develops into over the next, you know, over the course of like, say, his rookie contract and what that kind of becomes. But obviously we got him right now under a rookie deal and he's obviously rookie season right now. So we're just kind of soaking it all in as he is really learning the NFL game. So, but it's really cool to see, obviously. And he showed, like I said, that he can be still productive when he's targeted, even though Cooper Kupp is back. But I know the national media was very concerned about Puka Nacua and his potential productiveness with the return of Cooper Kupp, but we saw that they both can eat in this offense. Matthew Stafford and the Rams' weapons have an opportunity to find a rhythm in this game, and I'd imagine that dominating time of possession after what happened last week is going to be a little bit of a focus, so I do expect that the run game is going to be a little bit more prevalent this week than it was last week. But I think that the news cycle of Sean McVay abandoning the run when he's down, that was so heavy this week that there's no way that he avoided it, and there's no way that everybody in that building avoided it. So I do think that Sean McVay will this week kind of tend to lean on that ground game a little bit more, especially when you're going against the defense in the Arizona Cardinals, who are having a hard time stopping opponents, especially through the air, in fairness. So if Sean McVay does go a little pass happy in this game, I absolutely get it. But I mean, what can you do? They have their hands full, the Arizona Cardinals do, with these wide receivers that the Rams have. And they're going to need their pass rush to kind of step up in this one. But the Rams offensive line's been playing really, really well. Puka Nacua, by the way, is first in receptions. He is two ahead of Ja'Marr Chase, who did break a Bengals record for receptions in a single game against this Arizona Cardinals team last week. So potentially good news for Puka Nacua / Cooper Kupp. Nacua, by the way, also second in yards. He is just one ahead of Justin Jefferson, who is hurt right now, so he will, of course, kind of creep up on that. He is tied for seventh in yards after catch with Jefferson, and he is tied for first with Jefferson in receiving first downs. So all those with Jefferson, obviously, Nacua should be able to kind of rise up above that, as Jefferson's not going to be stacking stats here anytime soon, as he is on IR. And then Ja'Marr Chase, like I said, he set the Bengals record for receptions in a single game, and that was against this Arizona Cardinals team, who is giving up a pass rating of like 109 to opponents. So yeah, Matthew Stafford should have a good day in this one. And your 3-C on the offensive side of the football, we have wide receiver Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp had a strong debut against the Philadelphia Eagles, but in the second half, the Eagles game plan just kind of shined and kept the Rams' weapons on the sideline. Kupp is in a very good position, though, to have a very good day against the Arizona Cardinals, and he has some attention turned away from him simply because Puka Nacua exists, and they kind of help out each other there. And now with Van Jefferson getting shipped off, I do think that Tutu Atwell, he kind of got a little bit of a vote of confidence this week, right? So, like, we ship off a veteran to be like, no, this guy has kind of broken out this year, so he's going to do it. And I think that attention, trying to cover all these guys against a team who's had trouble covering anybody, That's very good news. So Cooper Kupp is the one I put on there because, well, we all love Cooper Kupp here. But all three receivers really should be kind of in that conversation. Next up is going to be Kyren Williams. Kyren Williams is a very talented, albeit underutilized, running back. And when the Rams are running the football, they tend to win more football games. And with the number of Rams rushing attempts in relation to the score, Sean McVay has almost certainly heard this and will almost certainly be more patient with the run game this week. That's what we hope for, at least. And the ground attack does need to be a little bit more of a priority in the game plan. And this is the perfect opportunity to try to get that aspect of the Rams offense rolling a little bit, because it absolutely needs to be part of what the Rams are trying to attack, is you on the ground, right? And then that brings us to the offensive line. I am a big fan of Noteboom, by the way. On the inside, I think, is mainly also where, although when he fills in for left tackle, he's so good. But when he's like, you're our left tackle, then he's not. I don't know what that's all about, but I love him on the inside as well. But I do think that Dotson being at right guard, it might give the Rams their best offensive line. That might be the Rams' best five, with Jackson, Avila, and then Shelton, and then Dotson, and then Havenstein. I think that that might be the Rams' best five. But, of course, it's not up to me, so we'll just kind of see what happens. But I said it before the season started, and I stand by it. The Rams' offensive line is it's got incredible depth, and it's absolutely one of their strongest units right now for this team. But last week, we did see some adversity with Shelton and Havenstein both going down. Both are expected to be fine, but with Warren at right tackle, he was put in a really tough spot late in the game. They're trying to close out the game. We're trying to just get a little bit desperate there. And of course, on that final play, that final sack, I don't remember if it was Williams or if it was Ronnie, but whoever that was did not do a good enough job on chipping and helping out Warren. Yeah, you got to back up right tackle there. I mean, you got to do a better job of helping him out. But I mean, that's just the way it is. But this week against a weaker opponent, the Rams offensive line is definitely in a good spot to dominate that defensive line a little bit. So I'm pumped about it. Let's move over to the other side here. We have the Arizona Cardinals offense versus the Rams defense. The Cardinals are 20th in total offense with a little under 340 a game being put up in total yards. The Rams defense a top 12 unit still, although that did take a hit from that last week against the Philadelphia Eagles. And passing the football, the Cardinals are 29th in the NFL, almost 186 a game. The Rams are 15th in the NFL against the pass. And running the football, the Cardinals are 6th in the NFL, 143, a little over 143 a game. The Rams are 20th against the run. And points being put up, the Cardinals are sitting about 21.5, which is 19th in the NFL, and the Rams giving up about 21.5, which is 16th in the NFL. Straight across the board there, 21.6 for both of those teams' averages. So if the Cardinals score 21 points, that does check out, but of course, this like each matchup is a totally different animal, and I don't know if I see the Cardinals putting up 21 against the Rams, but obviously we'll kind of see what happens here. But the Rams defense had trouble getting off the field last week, especially those third downs. Man, they were just Philadelphia was just eating it up. So that was obviously something we'd like to see change a little bit. That time of possession was a problem last week, but we were playing against a team with fewer weapons and overall a weaker offensive line. And that Eagles offensive line is no joke, man. They're good. And I think we kind of saw that with, like, they doubled Aaron Donald and then nobody else could win a one-on-one, which, I mean, come on, win your one-on-ones. But at the same time, I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles, we talked about it last week in our game preview, they were supposed to win that game. They're one of the Super Bowl favorites. Like, they were supposed to come into L.A. and beat the Rams. And they did it only by 9 points in a game where it felt like the Rams were kind of always right there. Like, if something happened, if a big play happened at any point, the Rams were able, like, potentially able to turn that game around. So, I'm not mad about it, really. I mean, again, I kind of said it before, but it's like 2-3, pretty healthy and competitive in every game so far. I'll take it. I will totally take that all day. But either way, back to the Rams defense here. It was an exhausting week against the Eagles. They kind of just kept marching down, kept their defense on the field. So the Rams, I would hope, and maybe I'm just trying to put that out into the universe, that they'll be a little bit more aggressive this week. They kind of let the Eagles come to them also, and I didn't like to see that. So this week against the Arizona Cardinals, this is a team you can attack, so I would like to see that happen. And the Cardinals offense, they've been able to find room on the ground. But of course, James Conner, he is on IR. So that's a big hit to this Rams offense or the Cardinals offense. And also their backup running back, he is questionable in this game right now. He did miss, I think, the last 2 weeks, but they are saying that he should be back this week. But overall, it's a stable of guys who are pretty inexperienced. I think behind him is like an undrafted rookie, stuff like that. So the Rams do have an opportunity here to kind of close down this this Cardinals offense, especially if they cannot run the ball now that James Conner is down. Kyler Murray, like I mentioned earlier, is technically eligible to return from the PUP list, but there is no indication or conversation about this potentially happening, at least none that I've seen. Your 3-2-C on the defensive side of the football in this one, we're going to start with Akello Witherspoon, who just keeps getting it done, man, right? Like, this guy's absolutely incredible. Witherspoon is showing to be one of the better additions of this offseason, which is, I mean, totally catching me by surprise here. When the Rams signed Akello Witherspoon, I was kind of like, oh, man, like, I want to see these young guys. I mean, that's wrong. Like, my whole assessment of the Rams bringing in Akello Witherspoon is completely butchered, and I'm totally fine with that because that dude is awesome out there. And Marquise Brown, he's going to have to cover, Witherspoon is going to have to cover Marquise Brown, I'm sure, quite a bit. And Marquise Brown's doing fine, but I think the target to receptions last week was pretty drastic. I think it was like 9 targets and only 4 receptions, something like that. So Witherspoon, obviously, he's just kind of shutting people down, so hopefully that can just continue. But obviously, Brown's got a lot of speed, so that's something that we'll have to watch for in this one. I saw this stat. I'm sure you saw it maybe as well on X, but Witherspoon allowing a 36.7 passer rating when targeted. And for reference, an incompletion on every single throw is 39.6. So yeah, Witherspoon is playing so well right now that it is quite literally better to throw the ball into the dirt than to try to test him. Like, that stat is blowing my mind right now. And it's absolutely fun to talk about that if you just threw the ball away, just throw it into the stands, throw it to me sitting in row 3 over there, then that's better. That is a better option than trying to get it past Akello Witherspoon, who is just shutting people down. Love that. Next up in the 3-C, we're going to go with Michael Hoyt. Michael Hoyt is off to a rough start. All right. I think we all kind of know that. It's very clear to everybody here that Michael Hoyt, he's having a bit of a rough start to this season. All right. But if the edge rusher position, this is my whole point on Michael Hoyt. We talked about this on Ram Showcase live streaming on YouTube and Facebook on the Ram Showcase pages every Monday. Times do change, but just keep up with those pages and you'll get those notifications. But if the edge rusher position in a Raheem Morris defense is expected to cover tight ends and occasionally wide receivers, then I think it's safe to say that Michael Hoyt cannot perform these duties, therefore should be replaced. Because if coverage is part of that position, then he can't do it. Simple as that. Hoyt is a converted defensive lineman, all right? So maybe he should start to transition back to that, and I wouldn't hate that because I really like Michael Hoyt in those positions, but he's also having trouble creating pressure on the edge when he's actually going in for the passer. He's also having trouble even generating the pressure there. But I'm not ready to throw in the towel on Hoyt just yet, all right? So we all have hopes that he can turn this season around, and I don't hope for any Rams player to perform poorly, but when they are, I'll call him out. You know that by now, right? Sean Mannion, Tutu Atwell, I'm looking at you, but Sean Mannion, obviously he left and all that stuff, and Tutu Atwell, I've changed my tune on Tutu, which is awesome, and I like to think that I gave him the nickname Tutu Train. I realize that's probably not true, but I'm going to stick with that because it's fun. But Michael Hoyt, obviously we hope he turns this around and kind of like finds that spark that it just like maybe it's something he's missing and then he's just going to turn it on. I just don't think he's fast enough really to cover these guys. This Goddard, 30 yards down the field, we got Michael Hoyt trying to cover him. That's just bad news. That's just bad news. And we've already seen that when Michael Hoyt is covering somebody, that player is going to get targeted. That's just the way it is. And Joe Barry out here taking a page right out of the Raheem book as the Packers defensive coordinator. He's got, Preston Smith covering Devontae Adams on Monday Night Football. It's like, oh, okay. It's just the coaching style. It's just that tree, apparently. No, but none of it's good. And that's the problem. But Michael Hoyt, I'm still hopeful, man. I'm still hopeful that he turns this around. So if he does, though, can continue to show the inability to perform the duties as asked, as required by that role, then I do think that that something needs to happen there. Whether that's go into our depth, whether that's, you know, a Nick Hampton, O'Shawn Mathis kind of fill into that role, or via trade, which I do think is technically a possibility, then I do think that something needs to happen there. But I'm still going to give Michael Hoyt the benefit of the doubt. He is on this list because he really might be on like his last straw. Like, I'm almost right here. I had it to here with Michael Hoyt. All right. And if I see him in coverage again, blowing like just, I'm hesitant to even call it coverage. That's how bad it is right now. So I don't want to just keep on harping on Michael Hoyt and just trash this guy completely. But because I like Michael Hoyt. I've always liked Michael Hoyt. But this year, it's just not working. So I would like to see something change, obviously. But he's I'm going to give him a few more chances. I'm rooting for him this week. I'm really rooting for him this week, especially because it's gotten really loud. The noise around Hoyt, myself included, has gotten really loud on how he can't cover. He probably shouldn't be doing this anymore. So, you know what? I'm hoping that he's sitting there just kind of fuming and sitting there going like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to go murder Josh Dobbs this weekend, and then we're going to watch that, and it's going to be awesome. So that's why he's on the list. And last here on our 3 to C is going to be Jordan Fuller. Fuller has somewhat quietly been all over the Rams defense, which is super cool. So Fuller, he is fine to the football, and he seems to be always looking to get the ball out, which is also exciting. And the Cardinals will be fielding some backup running backs who could be taken advantage of in that way, stripping those balls out from Jordan Fuller. And Fuller also leading the unit to stop the Cardinals' pass attack that has weapons but has not shown the ability to consistently move the football down the field. This game is a really good opportunity for the secondary to give Matthew and that offensive crew the football back in really good field position, because I've talked about that a lot as well. Like we tried to play the blame game a little bit on Ram Showcase Live about is it the offense's fault? Is it the defense's fault? And I kind of take the approach of that it's both. I mean, it's a team game and both sides needed to do stuff. That even when the Rams were getting a turnover, it was a touchback. So it's like, yeah, we get the ball back, but we're also at our own 20. At no point were we getting like a pick from Kobe Durant that sets us up at the 30 and we only need a little bit to go. Something like that, you know. So obviously we want to see that kind of turnaround. And let's take a look at some connections here. Not a lot, because as far as the college connections go, there wasn't anything too exciting as far as like guys who played in college together. It was a lot of like coaches, position coaches and stuff like that, which is cool, but not super riveting information. But we'll start on former Rams on the Cardinals head coach, Jonathan Gannon. In 2009, he was a college scout for the Rams, and in 2010 and 2011, he was a pro scout for the St. Louis Rams. So he does have a little bit of knowledge of this team, but obviously that was a long time ago and there is nobody here from those days. So Jonathan Gannon does have some Rams experience, but it was just scouting. And then former Cardinals on the Rams, we do have offensive lineman Coleman Shelton, our starting center. He was out there in 2018 and 19, and kicker Brett Maher. We have given them the nickname Barely Brett. I don't know if that's like super rude or not, but I mean, he's fine. He was there in Arizona, though, from 2020 to 2021. The history of this matchup, the Rams do lead the all-time series 50-40-2. So this is the 91st all-time regular season meeting between these two teams, 93rd meeting all-time, including postseason. The first ever game between these two, that came on October 3rd of 1937. The Chicago Cardinals beat the Cleveland Rams 6-0. And we've seen a lot of different matchups in this series. Cardinals versus Rams has a lot of different iterations. So we've seen Cleveland versus Chicago, Los Angeles versus Chicago, Los Angeles versus St. Louis, Los Angeles versus Phoenix, Los Angeles versus Arizona, which only lasted one game before the Rams moved to St. Louis, and it was St. Louis versus Arizona. And then, of course, now we are back to Los Angeles versus Arizona. Since returning back to Los Angeles, by the way, the Rams are 12-3 against the Arizona Cardinals. That does include that wild card game in the Rams Super Bowl run where they just kind of dominated the Kyler Murray-led Arizona Cardinals team on their way to hoisting the Lombardi at SoFi Stadium. One of the best days of my life. Hell yeah. And of course, the most recent game between these two kind of turned the tides just a little bit, I guess. I mean, I guess we can say that. I don't know if I feel confident saying that, considering I mean, law of averages is going to come into play at some point, but the most recent game between these two, the Cardinals did win 27-17. That game came last year, November 13th of 2022. So that is your game preview. We got the Arizona Cardinals coming to town to take on our Los Angeles Rams. Should be a fun one. I'm excited about this game. Division games are always kind of a toss-up. You never really know what to expect out of them. That's about it for that. So if you are watching on the YouTube channel, you want to check out the full podcast. We're getting into fan quesos after this. Then just find the Ram Showcase podcast wherever you already find your other favorite podcast. And just search it up there and listen to the whole thing, all right? And leave a like below if you liked this content. If you did not like this content, leave a dislike and let me know in the comments what you would like to see me do better. Other than that, we'll take a quick break here and get into fan quesos on the other side. Back into the action here as it's time for fan quesos. First one here is going to come from Ian. And his question is Puka Nacua still a viable fantasy option with Kupp back in the lineup? What do you see his role becoming now? Ian, I absolutely think that Puka Nacua is a viable option in your fantasy league because there is absolutely going to be teams who kind of key in on Cooper Kupp and say, if you're going to beat us, well, it's going to not be with Cooper Kupp. It's going to be with somebody else. The good news is, obviously, with Puka Nacua making his appearance and his emergence onto this Rams roster, well, he's looking pretty dang good at football, which is very exciting stuff. So, obviously, I do think that it's one of those situations where I just feel like on any given week, it's going to be a matchup based thing. Who's covering who? What corner is covering Kupp? Which means that translates to like who is going to be on Puka and stuff like that. And it's just going to be a matchup thing every week. I'm kind of riding on the Tutu train a little bit, and that's actually my fantasy football team name right now is the Tutu train, and I do have them on my roster, and I start him every week because I feel like he's going to be one of those guys that just kind of like out of nowhere gets like a 48-point game, and then everyone's going to be like, oh, what? Joe started that guy? He's a genius. They're probably not going to say that, but I'm going to think that they do, and that's all that matters. But to answer your question, Ian, I think absolutely. I think the real winner as far as your fantasy team goes when it comes to the Rams offense, though, is going to be Matthew Stafford. He will throw some picks. That's just kind of Matthew Stafford style, dude. But he's got killer weapons all over the place. He's got a great tight end, the best tight end in Rams franchise history. Two incredible wide receivers in Triple Crown winner Cooper Kupp, future Hall of Famer Puka Nacua, and the speedster Tutu Atwell, which is really good stuff there. So yeah, I think overall, if we're talking fantasy, which I don't love, I don't really get into the fantasy stuff, but Stafford I think is going to be your big winner there. And heading over to YouTube. Was it finally let me make a posting here? I don't know what was going on earlier, but it wouldn't let me. But we got it. That's all that matters here. So this one's going to come from Joe. Great name. Says, dude, where's Trey Tomlinson? I think he has way more upside than Kendrick, who seems to have peaked. I keep seeing comments on Darian Kendrick about how terrible he is. I am not seeing it. I realize that he gets like a penalty here and there. And I feel like what happens with Darian Kendrick is he's so sick for 95% of his plays. But that 5%, it's not only that he's not super sick, but he's actually kind of bad in those 5%. But I'm choosing the positive here, man, and I'm going to stick with that 95% because I do think he's got it in him to be so good at this game. And I think that we've already seen that he's better this year than he was last year. And so I'm not on that train where I've just like DK sucks and I'm not like, I'm not with that. I like Darian Kendrick still a lot, and I think that he's doing a fine job. Obviously, I think we're all kind of upset and kind of blinded a little bit by that drive there at the end of the first half against the Philadelphia Eagles where he had those two bad plays, but that's not enough for me to throw him away. But where is Trey Tomlinson? Man, that dude is a gunner right now, and so far, man, he's been a bit of a penalty machine. It seems like every time he's on the field, he's getting penalties, so obviously... I don't know. I think he's just developing still, so we'll kind of see what his career develops into, but I do think that over the course of the season, we'll start to see him more later on in the year, much like Zach Evans. I think that some of these rookies were ready to go day one. Steve, Puka, Byron, those guys were ready right now to play some football. Ethan, ready to play right now. But I do think that there's other guys like Zach and like Trey, even Jason Taylor, those guys, I think just needed more time. So I think that we're going to kind of see them maybe a little bit more later in the season to answer your question there, Joe. And next one here coming from Paul. Will the Rams ever get rid of the all-blue uniforms? Dude, I'm with you, man. I don't really like to get into the whole uniform thing. I don't really care what the Rams look like. Just go out there and play good football, man. But yeah, the blue-on-blue is pretty hideous, and I'm a big, big fan of the bone jersey. I absolutely love it. But then the time we've worn it, we paired it with the bone pants. And I just think anytime you match your pant color with your jersey color, it looks a little bit silly. We call it the pajama combo, where it does just kind of looks like a onesie a little bit. It looks like one unit of clothing, and I'm not with it. I think it always looks terrible anytime you do same color jersey and pant. With the exception of white, I feel like that sometimes can be fine. But overall, yeah, that blue on blue, man, it's just too much blue, dude. I mean, really, it's just overwhelmingly blue. And like, at least with the bone on bone, we get like the blue helmet. But when you pair that blue helmet with the blue jersey and the blue pants, oof, man, that's a lot, dude. And it just, it's just ugly. I don't know. It's like, we obviously, beat the butt cheeks off the Denver Broncos on Christmas Day in those. But other than that, terrible luck as well. Those also have just not been good jerseys for the Rams. So I'm hoping that we don't continue to see the entire, like same color jersey and pants, because it's just kind of gross, right? So we'll kind of see what happens as far as the jersey stuff goes. I do fully still anticipate that next year or maybe the year after that, something like that, that we'll get rid of like the gradient and the numbers. We'll probably update a little bit. I think that the horn will stay just because of the logo, but yeah, stuff like that. I think it will get a bit of an update, a little bit of a refresher, because what we've seen from teams that have done a rebrand like the Rams have, i.e. the Titans, the Buccaneers, the Jaguars, the Browns, they've all kind of gone over the top on their rebrand, and then a couple years later, they pull back a little bit. So these Buccaneers jerseys are not nearly as obnoxious as they were just a couple years ago when they put the logo all huge on their helmet for no reason, and the numbers like look super stupid and cartoony and stuff. And I know some people liked them, whatever. And then like the Jags, where they have like the two-tone helmets and stuff, where it like faded into like black and like gold or whatever. It's like that kind of stuff just over the top, and they kind of toned it down, pulled back a little bit. And I do think that that's exactly what the Rams will be doing as well. Next round of questions here, and our last bit of questioning will come from Rams House, the YouTube channel. And I don't know, you kind of slowed down. Rams House, get back on this, man. What are you doing over here? Who is the most likely Ram to be signed first by the Rams in the 2024 free agency? So you're okay. So the way I'm translating this is the way I believe you're asking it is what of our free agents will be signed back first? And I'm gonna give this one. I feel like you think that I'm gonna go with number four, right, Jordan Fuller in this one. But psych, I'm going Kevin Dotson, dude. 27 years old, and that dude is absolutely awesome. And I think that the Rams are going to maybe not even let him get to the free agency level. I think that we see an extension for him sometime throughout the season, actually, to keep him around. Don't even give him the chance to test the market, and just let's just go ahead and keep him here because he's really good at football, and we're good. We should be happy that we got him. And the way that all happened, and it kind of seemed like a last minute thing, and his story of telling how that all happened, where his agent calls him and is like, hey man, there's some teams interested, so just a heads up. And then like 2 hours later, 4 hours later, whatever it was, he's like, the Rams traded for you. You're leaving tomorrow. It's like, oh my gosh, could you imagine that just for a second? Like take a second, take this journey with me. Like, I work at a radio station, right? I can't even imagine what it would be like if my boss came in one day and was like, hey, by the way, we've traded you. You got to move to a different state where you don't know anybody. They're expecting you tomorrow. like what? Like, imagine that in your own life, that like your whatever school or work you go to, like, and then like all of a sudden they're like, yeah, you go somewhere else now and you don't know anybody there. it's tomorrow. So say goodbye. And then you just like, gotta go. So that's kind of a crazy thing, man. But obviously in the NFL, it's like, it's a different world. And that kind of stuff can't happen, but I'm going to lock in, Kevin Dotson, dude, KD. That's what we're going to call him from here on out. I'm just locking that in. Next one here from Rams House. You can bring back one Ram from the 2020 Rams defense. who would it be? They'd be playing as well as they did at the time. Let me go ahead and pull up a little bit of a roster here so I can accurately assess what we are looking at here. So let's go to the defensive stats. Ooh, John Johnson that year was very good. Troy Hill was really cool that year. Kenny Young, I'm a big fan of. Darius Williams was really good that year. Oh, obviously, it's just Jalen Ramsey, right? Yeah, let's go and lock that in. Jalen Ramsey. I think that's an easy one. The second he popped up, it was like, oh, yeah, of course. yeah, dude, Jalen, he was super sick, obviously. So what was that? That was a number 20 Jalen Ramsey. I think he was better in five. I don't know what it was, but I think he got more insane in the five, man. I'm trying to think who else would be like a really good option here. I like Morgan Fox, man. I think he's better out playing for Staley than he would be with us. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just lock in Jalen Ramsey, dude. Because that guy's awesome, man. You know that, though. You're a Jalen guy. Next one here. What happens if the Rams draft Carson Wentz in 2016? How does that play out with McVay and his head coach and the cast around him? That's a very interesting question, Rams House, because obviously with the way that that whole draft went, the Rams moving up, trade with the Philadelphia Eagles to get into the number one slot, and then did not tell anybody where they were going. Is it going to be Carson Wentz? Is it going to be Jared Goff? And I wanted Goff. I'll tell you, Rams House, you kind of understand this, I guess, a little. Well, I mean, I'll say the words, but you're kind of near me. And so I was watching the Air Force game, the Air Force Bowl game, and against Cal. And that's exactly why I wanted Jared Goff. His deep ball, it was like the way that his deep ball was coming out of his hands. I was like, this guy, I want him on my team, man. And then so when the Rams moved up to one, I was all in on Goff. But obviously Carson Wentz was in that conversation as well. But I got to say that if the Rams drafted Carson Wentz, that was still under Jeff Fisher. And I think that if the Rams had Carson Wentz, I think that his stint with the Rams would have been shorter than Jared Goff's stint with the Rams. I think that Sean McVay would have been faster to move on from Carson Wentz, because what we've seen from players and Sean McVay and their dynamic is when players don't absolutely love the game of football, it creates a bit of a rift. And I think that Carson Wentz is one of those guys who was just good at football growing up and in college and stuff like that, but he blatantly doesn't even care. When he got traded to Washington, he was on a camping trip or something like that. He didn't even know for like another week until after that transaction already happened. Like, he comes back home and they're like, oh, you don't live here, man. Like, go away, go to Washington. What are you doing over here? And then he pulls out the ugliest jacket of all time and goes to Washington. So I just think that the stint would have been a lot shorter. I just don't think that McVay would have had as much patience with Carson Wentz as he did with Jared Goff. And final question here is going to be top three favorite Rams games since 2020. Can't include playoffs. Oh, you just ruined my entire answer there. Jesus. Okay, let's see here. So I'm going to start with 2021, week one, home against the Chicago Bears. And that does obviously kind of sting just a little bit more now that Van Jefferson's gone, because the second that touchdown happened on the second play of the season, we kind of felt like it was something new. So, yeah, Stafford to Jefferson on that first touchdown there. That one was something I'll always remember. Let's see here. Oh, man, this is a tough one. You ask the tough questions, man. I'm going to go with, I think what feels like obvious reasons, Christmas Day against the Denver Broncos as a Colorado native. Anytime the Rams can just beat the butt cheeks off the Denver Broncos, I feel good about it. I was 10 last time the Rams lost to the Broncos. I'm 32 now, so I'm feeling pretty good. and that's just been fun. Other than that, man, I'm trying to think here. So, since 2020, let me go back here and kind of run down this list here. I thought I would have something off the dome, but I do not. Let's see. I would go probably, man, I don't know. I'm at a loss now and I'm running out of time. I am running out of time. I got two, man. That's what you get. But thank you for your fan quesos. I do genuinely appreciate those. Those are always so much fun to do. And we'll get back to it again next week. Of course, check the Rams Showcase social media for those on Wednesdays. But thanks for hanging out. We got a big old game going on this weekend. Arizona Cardinals head to the Los Angeles Rams, which will be absolutely fun. RamsShowcase.com. Snag your merch under that merch tab. We got Rams Showcase t-shirts. They are absolutely awesome. AJ helping out a lot with those, which is absolutely incredible. Huge shout out to AJ, man. He's that's a good dude right there for sure. Follow Ram Showcase on all your favorite social media at Ram Showcase, at Sheriff Joe Bags. You can follow myself as well. And, well, that's going to do it for me. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. This has been Ram Showcase on Sports War Radio, the fan-sided network, and Broad Street South. For those of you who aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you so much for listening, and go Rams.